Well, a little music, piano to come up to. That's pretty awesome. Great to be here today. I'm really excited to be here. I'm Jeff Reese. I've been a member since at North River since maybe 2010. And my wife is here. My daughter, husband, from Texas for about a week. It's awesome. So Ashley and I, we serve as family group leaders. We have the opportunity to serve as elders with youth and family. And that means I'm just older than the rest of you guys. Been doing it longer. It's really grateful to serve with the teenagers. They're meeting up at the Lighthouse today. And that group, I kind of call it like Survivor. That season of life where it's outwit, outplay, outlast. You don't watch that show? But that's what youth and families like. And I really pray for youth and families. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. We're going to do that today. I don't have any slides, anything like that. We're just going to read our Bibles today. And I'm excited. I sat back in the back today hearing the songs about forgiveness. And when I saw people walk in, I thought to myself, that's what everybody needs. No matter what walk of life or what your background or where you're from or what's your age, every human on this earth needs forgiveness. And we've been studying and reading in the Lord's Prayer, and Jeff and Jordan have done a great job. Jeff's away on vacation. Jordan just got back, so they called me from the bullpen, so here we are. And it's great to give those guys a break, recharge their batteries. Because we've read through this, and Jesus lands in the Lord's Prayer right here in verse 12. He says here, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive their sin." That's kind of a confusing ending, right? Is that like conditional? And we'll get around to that. And why does Jesus say this right here, right now? This moment of time, he chose to use this phrasing. And I love that Jesus is always paying attention to the people around him. He's the most observant, I wouldn't say human, but being that's ever lived. And what he noticed was he noticed the pagans earlier, and what were they doing? They're praying to their gods who didn't exist. And they thought that maybe they could be heard by many words, or maybe perhaps by the volume. I need to pray louder. Or I need to pray more. Or I need to pray on my knees or standing up. And they were had this sort of, I got to get God's attention, right? To get him to listen to me. And then he saw the Jews, the hypocrites. And all of these men and women, pagans, hypocrites alike, they're all made in an image of God. And what were the hypocrites doing? They were doing things to get the approval of man. I'll pray outside so people can see me. I'll wear long robes and all this kind of stuff so I can get their attention. And Jesus shaking his head. He said, "Man, you got your reward in full." And so that's kind of like us today. Well, I know for me, I love attention, right? We love to live in certain houses or drive cars or look a certain way or act a certain way. So why? So men and women can go, "You're cool. You're awesome." And that's just human nature. And here's Jesus writing all this. And he realized that what people are really seeking is intimacy. They're seeking for closeness and love and acceptance. And I'm the one to give it. And he's 10 feet away. 10 feet away. And same thing today. He's not 10 feet away. He is right here, right now. I don't know where you are, where you're coming from, where you're burdened this today with guilt or shame or all the above. Or maybe you're even unaware that you even need this. But God's wants to take you from where you are to really understand forgiveness and the intimacy that forgiveness brings. So today I've really titled this, "Intimacy with God and One Another." That's what forgiveness is all about. Now, do you think this is easy to grasp? No. It's difficult. But maybe you're one of the extra special people that got it all nailed down, that you understand and you have this deep confidence and you forgive people easily, right? It rolls off your back. Well, God bless you. That's one of you. That's not me. And it's probably not you. And so we're going to look at a parable that Jesus taught for that very thing was happening. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew 18. And it's kind of a parallel scripture, so to speak, or story that Jesus tells about forgiveness. We're going to look at Peter's interactions, see how he grasps this story. I got a few thoughts today under this. Number one is, if you desire intimacy with God and man, it demands awareness. Demands awareness. Verse 21, chapter 18, Peter says, earlier, Jesus tells a parable about when a brother sins against you. And here's the most thing. Here's the thing that Peter came up with, his best thinking. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Then he kind of says this with a little bit of an incredulous look, up to seven times? You can imagine him saying that, looking that way, right? I mean, that many times? And Peter really in his heart had this maximum. When somebody sins against me, I've got this max number. Is it seven? And you can imagine that. I've been around people for a while. So has Peter. I've been around, and when you're around a bunch of dudes, guess what happens? You get sinned against. Right? You get sinned against. People say the wrong thing at the wrong time. They ignore you when you've done all this sort of stuff when you're around people, and they say the wrong things. Your brothers and sisters will say the wrong thing. They'll say things that are incorrect, that hurt your feelings. And sometimes we can respond like Peter. And a few things about awareness. We need to be aware of our own debt. What do you think about Peter's question? How does that land with you? Can you relate? I mean, I can. When you're hurt by someone, sometimes you want to think, man, how many times do I got to put up with this? Right? Sometimes that's our heart, right? But notice Peter says, how many times shall I forgive them for sinning against me? And sometimes that can really be our heart. And we're around people that have sinned against stuff. Like, man, how long I got to put up with them? And I came up with a better question. What if Peter would have asked this question? Father, when I sin against you, how many times will you forgive me? Seven times? And all of a sudden, Jesus looks at you and goes, no, son, no, daughter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. How does that feel? That feels awesome. But that's not what happened. That's not where our hearts are. So Jesus here is trying to expose Peter's heart and to teach his heart. And the same thing for us today. He's always trying to teach our hearts how to respond, how to imitate his heart. And he goes, Peter, man, I got a story for you. And look what he says, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. It began a settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I'll pay you back everything. Let's stop the story for a minute. Here's a king who wants to make things right. He says, I see some turmoil among my people. They've incurred some debt against me. I want to make things right, the benevolent king. And he used this number, 10,000 talents. Now, in the Greek language, 10,000 was the largest numerical value they had. Nobody ever used it because it was too big. It's like today, if we use the number quadrillion, I don't use that number. But that's kind of what they thought about. A number that was impossible to exaggerate is what 10,000 meant. Beyond scope. Impossible. And again, you think about it, this story's not about finances. It's not about money. It's not about the guy going and buying stuff or going into credit card debt or what did he do with all the money. This story's about us. Our debt. Our sin. The debt we've incurred. And I know y'all like to think that we're nice and we're pleasant and we're patient and we dress up well and all this kind of stuff, but at our core, we have sin. Yeah. And we've collected a lot of debt. And then Jesus drives it home. What does he say here? He goes, you're not able to pay? I'm going to sell everything you got. Your home, your automobiles, your boats, tricycles, you name it, tennis shoes, whatever, clothes, and your family. When you first read this, you go, man, that's harsh. It's harsh. But the point is, even if Jesus, the master, sold these items, it wouldn't make a dent. Not even a dent in a dent, not even a scratch. When you're talking about $250 billion. And what he's trying to communicate to us is the only pathway forward is forgiveness. Family, brothers and sisters, if you're visiting today, I don't care who you are in this room, the only pathway forward, forgiveness. Only way, there's no way to wiggle out of it, no ways to minimize it, no ways to put a Band-Aid on it, no ways to apologize it away. We need cancellation. And that's what Jesus brings. Have you wrestled with this before? Have you thought about that justice is required? When you talk about a financial instrument and you borrow money and you don't pay, what happens? They come get it. That's judicial. But this is relational. Forgiveness is two parts. It's judicial, which means the debt is canceled. And it's relational. That means I'm letting go of the anger. I'm letting go of the resentment. I'm letting it go. So he's showing judicial, but he's showing the relational side of, I'm canceling the debt. You need to think about that. Are you aware of that? Between 1 and 10, how aware are you? Peter's at a 1. We want to be at a 10. Maybe you're at a 3. We want to get to a 10. That's where we are, because we need to understand the awareness. A couple things. He didn't understand how his debt, how his sin affected others. Who took the brunt of his sin? Of course he did. He took some hits. When you're angry, who takes the brunt? Your family, your friends, your coworkers. When you have addiction problems, who takes the brunt? Your family. Your friends, somebody takes the hit for it. All this sort of sin, somebody absorbs it. And we have to become aware of that, right? We need to be more sensitive. It's the part of intimacy with God is being aware of what we're bringing to the table, and that's sin. How you feel about this morning? I'm getting a lot of quietness. That means there's some things that are starting to sink in a little bit. It's good. Sin is never private. It always has consequences. Takes you further than you think. I was 29 years old back in 1991. Went to school at University of Tennessee. Lived in a fraternity house for 4 years. And I did all the fraternity life stuff that fraternity life affords. Sexual immorality, drunkenness, selfishness, stupid stuff, boatloads of sin. All sorts of garbage. I mean, craziness. Ended up met my first wife in a bar. Lived together on the weekends because that was a little less sinful, right? We both had successful careers. 4.5 years into it, after the birth of our first child, she left for somebody else. Here I was at 29 with my world crushed around me. First time in my life, I've been aware of sin, and it landed on my front steps. Did I need it? Oh, absolutely, I needed it. Ideally, you don't get to that point in time where you have to make awareness kind of in your face. Ideally, you can figure out, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I better become aware. Yeah. Yeah. But that's my story, and that's what I needed. I remember the first time my eye had been opened because of this, and I heard that Jesus says, come follow me, and I went, me? sent across from Jeff Sackinger at his house in Nashville, saying those very words, that's the first time I understand that the master was willing to forgive all of that. Awareness, super important. He also didn't understand the size of it. Look what he said. He said what? Be patient with me, I'll pay you back. What a joke. Later on, the master knew. He said, okay, who owes me debts? This guy, and he owes me this. So the master knew how much debt he had, but did he? I'll pay you back. Well, you got a payment plan? You gonna write me a check every month? You think that'd make a dent in it? Oh, not even close. That just creates tension between somebody. Imagine if you had a debt that somebody forgave and you had to pay it. Does that create intimacy? No, it creates animosity. Jesus knew that. That's why he says, I want to cancel debts. I don't want to create a payment plan, this religious payback system, so many Hail Marys. That creates insecurity. That creates tension. That's not intimacy. But when you see the size, you see the grace. Luke 7:36, sinful woman comes in. She's wiping her hair on Jesus' feet, kisses, pours perfume. Happened in a Pharisee's home. They didn't lift a finger to help. Who saw the size of the sin? She did. Luke 18:19, tax collector cannot even look towards heaven. Father, I'm a sinful man. Pharisees looking on. The Pharisees praying, Lord, help me not be like him. Who sees the size? Usually the sinful people that have sinned the most. Question is, do you see the size? Are you to one? Are you to 10? Ideally, you don't have to do all that. It's learning. Like, man, I need to see the size. He also, it's important to understand the awareness of the debtor. I love this. Verse 27, let's read that again. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, let him go. That's crazy. Here's a man knowing, man, this guy owes me this so much money. I wonder how he feels. I wonder what it's like in his family life to have that kind of debt on him, the pressure, just the angst of waking up knowing. So he went seeking out. And our gracious God goes seeks us out. This morning as I prayed, I prayed that someone, hopefully more, would sense that. You would sense that God is seeking you out this morning. He's found you, but have you found him? You understand who the debtor is. I also say awareness of your daddy. I like putting it that way. Your father in heaven. Amazing. Church is not for goody two-shoers. Church is for sinners. I'm the worst. I'm in the right place. Hope you feel that way. Here's the kicker, though. Think about it. Where'd the debt go? Sure, it's canceled. It's gone. But where'd it go? It's absorbed. Somebody's got to pay, right? If I'm not going to pay, who pays it? It's absorbed. I think of the scripture, by his wounds, I've been healed. The connection, you got to make the connection. Your debt, wounded, somebody has to absorb that. Judicially, that's how it works. Relationally, when you forgive somebody, that how it works. Jesus absorbed it. Imagine that happening. You're standing there and you owe a quad, don't even use that number. Say you owed $1 million, all right? Let's that number. Somebody came along and you owed that and they walked in and said, hey, listen, I empathize. I want to wipe it out. Your debt's forgiven. How do you feel about that? I'm not going to skip on stage. I may trip. But Matt, you would. It would be this sort of whoosh. I'm 64. I went through the market crash of 2008. I'd been in ministry for a long time, Ashley and I got back out seeking a career at my 40s, tried lots of different things. We were struggling. And I was a mortgage lender, bought a bunch of real estate, market crashed, went to my dad. I need to borrow some money. And back then I was flipping houses. We were broke. I knew real estate. So my dad loaned me $150,000. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. When you have nothing, that's a lot. And it's a lot anyway. And so I was paying him back. I could only afford interest only. I was not making a dent in the principal. And so what was happening back then, I was using it, the money, then the market turned. And I started, instead of putting the money I made back into it, I started eating into it. And by that time, Ashley and I, we needed to move up the North River. So in the middle of the school year, we loaded up our cars and moved here. She quit her job. I had no job. We came up here because we needed to be here. And so the money I borrowed was now a lot less. And I was embarrassed about the debt. Me and my, I had like, how did my dad feel about me? I had all these, I'm a loser. I can't do anything right. And then ended up, opportunity, God's blessed, shined on me, amen. And we had an opportunity to buy a business, a franchise, 12 years ago. And risky. That meant I could lose everything. I mean, buying a business, risky. So I went to my dad. I said, here's what's going on. I need to take the rest of your money that you loaned me, that I can't pay back anyway, to buy this business, and I could lose everything. What do you think? My dad said, son, if I hadn't been so afraid back when I was young, having three kids and a steady job, I would have done the same thing. Give me your blessing. That freed me up with my dad, but still, that angst of owing this money every day, every morning, waking up, paying it back. Did that for about 3 years. Business started being successful. March 11th, 2017, I got a letter from my dad. Pulled it out last night, read it again. Dear Jeff and Ashley, I know you're not able to pay this debt. So your mother and I, we're canceling your debt. Wow. Gone. Cancellation. No payment plan. Gone forever. I got this letter. It said, I'm saving the letter. How did I feel? How did I feel? Think about it. Was I all upset? Oh man, I can't believe you did that. No. I looked at my dad with like, and he absorbed that for me? Changed my life. Changed my outlook. That's what awareness needs to do to your life. Awareness about your debt. Awareness about your daddy. It should change your life. Look here, see what happened here to the guy, that it changed his life. Verse 28. When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's a lot less. A couple of bucks. A couple months' wages. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back, you ugly sinner. What you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees, begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown to prison till he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, as they should have been, and went out, told their master everything that had happened. Master called the servant in, you wicked servant, I cancel all your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have just had mercy on your fellow servant who had debt against you? In anger, his master turned him over to his jailers to be tortured so he'd pay back all that he owed. That's the relational side. It's not like, hey, Jesus is going to... If you got a son and you do something great for him, or a daughter, you want them to have your heart, right? And when you do something amazing for them and they go do something different, what does it do to your heart? Ugh. And that's how the master felt. Ugh, man, you got to take care of the consequences will be pretty severe. I'm still going to love you to the moon and back, but the consequences for acting this way. My last thought, closing out, forgiveness is a choice. The king, the master, chose. Nobody made him. It wasn't his religious obligation. Nobody made him. God chose. With God, it's always yes. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Never enough yeses. It's always yes. Isn't that awesome? Man, what a great feeling knowing that God is always yes, and yes is scary because that would mean the other person that you're loving may say, uh-uh, not interested, don't care, not concerned, like this guy did in here. Most incredible and scary things in life is love, because it's all about choice. You know, worst words to hear when you like somebody, if you're a guy, is what? I just want to be friends. That's code word for I don't choose you. That's painful. But the flip side of that, when that special person, when my wife told me, I choose you, how does that feel? That's awesome. That's what it's about. Choice. For us, we can choose two things. And we're going to talk about that briefly, then we'll celebrate, take the Lord's Supper. We can choose funky, or we can choose freedom. When I say funky, I mean dysfunctional. Were you dis the functional? Now look at this guy's life. How funky was it? He took one of his best friends who owed him a couple of bucks, and what did he do? Choking him, throw you in prison. All the servants were like, who's this guy? Man, what is going on? It just creates this dysfunctional. I mean, if you've been in a family with somebody that's like this, maybe myself included, if I was acting this way, what kind of stress it put on a family? It's not functional. And that goes on for this generation. This generation takes care of it. They start imitating. And this goes on for generation till somebody chooses differently. Because this is a choice to forgive. When we don't see our heart, God, the master just wanted us to imitate his heart. That's what he wants. And what happens is we minimize our own sin, we maximize the other person's sin. All right? That's exactly what he did. Hey, this is a choice. You can make this choice, but do you want to have dysfunctional relationships? You want to have a dysfunctional relationship with God? When you don't imitate his heart? No, you don't want that. But that is a choice, and it's your choice to make. Or number two, we can choose freedom. The master chose freedom. Guess what? He said, you're free to go. No payment plan. I'm not going to come and check on you. I'm not going to look for a status report, see how you're doing with the forgiveness. He didn't do any of that. He said, I'll let you go. Think prodigal son. Gave him half the estate. And you're free to go. Do with what you may. And he goes, and we know what happens. Comes back later, though. We can choose freedom. At the church, we have a rich history. Some of us have been around a while. I've been around since 91, 92. Some of us a lot longer. We got a rich history. What that means is incredible things have happened. Man, if you knew some of the history we got, people walk in sometime and go, man, how do you guys know each other like this so well? Got a rich history. Some of our conversion stories are mind-blowing what God has done. We also got a rich history of hurt. Hey, you're around a bunch of dudes and dudettes, you're going to get hurt. People are going to say wrong things. They're going to give you bad advice. They're going to do all sorts of stuff. And it hurts. It's hard. Choose your hard. One of them, they're both hard. One of them, your friends take the hit. When you choose freedom, you take the hit. Because you need to apologize and absorb. But that's the heart of Jesus. We have it. Some people have left because of that. And earlier in Matthew 6:13, he says, lead us into temptation. Because what happens with this, I believe what Jesus was talking about back in Matthew 6, is when you don't forgive your brother, it turns into bitterness. And then you're imprisoned waiting for that person to come apologize to you. I had something happen probably in 2000. I was in a meeting, something, I'm not gonna share the details, but it hurt. Man, it stuck in my soul. Ever had something like that happen? Really stuck in there like, oh man, that doesn't feel good. Every time you see that person, it's like, Even though that person apologized, you need to do some penance, right? But I did that for 25 years. Every time I saw this person, I felt that GPS signal start to trigger. And I realized that bitterness had taken hold of my heart. And I was talking to a great brother, a friend of mine. Hope you have great brothers that'll speak truth in your life, great sisters. Give me a big nod on that. I told him the situation because he knows this particular brother. He said, Jeff, it sounds like that you need to apologize. I was like, who, me? He's the one that sinned against me. He says, no, you got some bitterness going on. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, he's right. I'm the problem now. So I tracked this brother down, pulled him aside, said, listen, man, I need to apologize. This situation happened. He said, tell me about it. He didn't even remember. What? That just shows you how sinful we are, right? I said, I need to pop and bitter for a long time. He said, I said something was going on. I said, listen, I'm so sorry. You know something? We're super close now. I'm free now. I wasn't free before. Produce freedom, joy, connection. No more funky. So my prayer today, as we think about forgiveness, I want you to be aware. We come in and sing great song. That's awesome. But we all know. You need to know. Man, I'm the worst of sinners. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of our debtor. Our daddy came to, man, offer forgiveness. Just come on. Let's go. I'm here. I want you to have it. Because then we can really have life to the full. And why did Jesus come to give this much? Because you're worth it. You're worth the risk of you not loving him back. He said, man, I don't care. They're worth the risk. Hope today was helpful. This is a great segue for us now to take the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll be passed, and we'll get to remember Jesus. Father, it is what an amazing story. You have such an amazing heart. Your heart is always yes, yes, yes. And Father, by your wounds, we've been healed. And that's why, and God, we still sin. We're not like one and done. We need forgiveness every day. And you extend grace every day with a yes and a yes and a yes. I pray today that those that need to be impacted today would make changes. Those that are unaware would become aware. Those that feel guilty would feel freedom. Thank you that we can take the blood and the body and remember Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.